Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you very much, Mark Ramsey. Thank you for coming to my website on this February the 6th, 2014. Glad that you can join me. I'm Pastor John, and I'm here in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. I've been doing this since 2002. And I'm yet doing it. Well, I'm excited, as you can see by the picture on the website. I'm still involved with young men in a positive way, of course. And that picture was taken in the hallway of my home. I have young men that are unemployed in my community. And I befriend these young men. And I move one of the computers out in the hallway there as they come through my living room, and they're right there. The young man with the white shirt on that day was going out for a job interview. He was very, very happy. He was going out for a dishwashing job. Well, you may say, a dishwashing job? Isn't he educated? No, these are not your educated college grad kind of guys. These are the guys that are far more less fortunate. They're not able to go to college. As a matter of fact, some of them don't even have a place to stay. They're homeless. I'm working on a group of youngsters today that has to go down and get their Cal ID because they need a Cal ID, and I just assist them in giving them counseling in that way, and so that they can do that. It is horrific out there in the streets. Now, you know, it's one thing for me to read the Bible to a young man. Psalm 119, 106 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Okay. Now, the next verse says, verse 106 says, "I have sworn and I will confirm it, that I will keep thy righteous ordinances." See, now, I like this next verse, verse 107, because it kind of like goes along with where these young men are right now. And I can relate because I'm afflicted in pain in my body right now as I speak. But praises be unto God. I'm not going to allow the pain to stop me from doing what God called me to do. Look at this. "I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy word. O, accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thine ordinances." You know, I think that we need at times God to renew us with his word and to get us on the right path that we should be on. I think that we as Americans have, and I've been saying this for years, we have too much, we waste too much, we get rid of more than we have, and we find ourselves in a dilemma. Well, I like God's word because what God's word does, it challenges us. It challenges us to live in accordance to our means, to live in accordance to his will, to follow him, regardless of what we feel, regardless of what we want to do. And, you know, that's a hard lesson to get over to a young man that has never had a job. Both of these young men in that particular picture right there, because they happen to run in groups in the city. They run in groups. They're both about 21 years old. And both of them, unfortunately, their parents did not do adequate in raising them at all. These are throwaway kids. Throwaway kids. The white shirt that he has on, the tie that he has on, that's mine. That's right. That's right. He didn't have the proper clothes to go to an interview. I mean, if you're going on a job interview somewhere, you got to be dressed for the fact. Wouldn't you think that a parent would teach children that? Church, listen to me. Those of you that are Christians, that's why I'm saying bridging the gap. When you're living in the inner city, it is a task that God has given me and under much perplexity. It's not easy. It's very difficult to do what I do. I have to come to the point to ignore the difficulty that comes my way. Like I have to come to the point right now to ignore the pain. I have that right baccal neuritis, that thing, I don't know whether you've ever had it, a pulled nerve in my right shoulder blade, and it's affecting the right side of my body, my chest. Makes me feel like I'm having pre-heart attacks and everything else. It is horrible pain, horrible. And I'm doing this webcast right now, and I'm addressing the church, just like God is addressing me. What are we doing? Are we willing? Are we willing with all of our might, with all of our power, and with all of our strength? And if the webcast just ends abruptly, it's because I couldn't take the pain anymore and I just had to do something. And check it out. I have to go to work next week with this on Monday. I have to start back on Monday, the 10th of February. And I've been trying various pain medicines that my doctor have put me on. I think I'm finished with them, because the pain medicine has me feeling worse than the pain, if you know what I mean. Now, of course, I can sleep at night, and that's a wonderful thing, but I can't sleep 24 hours a day. But I'm going to continue to work with these young men, and I'm going to continue to encourage them to do exactly what they ought to do in order to achieve the lifestyle that I believe that God will want them to have. I'm watching two young men pass by. They just hollered at Mario on the porch right there. Two young men that live down the street, and one of them, I was helping him. I had a tremendous disagreement, but the love still reigned supreme. I'm thinking about my community. Are you thinking about yours? Or do you get in your car? Listen to this. Do you get in your car? And do you mind your own business and just drive down the street? And I do it sometimes because I'm not Joan of Arc or the Good Samaritan that can help everybody in the world. I can't do that. No, that's impossible for me to do. But there is one thing that I can do. I can concentrate. I can concentrate on the people around me that needs help. And because that is a very important factor that has to be factored in. Are you doing what you can do? And I want to do as much as I can until I'm totally incapacitated and not able to help anymore. I would want you Christians to think about life that way instead of thinking about life in a very selfish, demeaning way that doesn't bring honor to the name of Christ. What Christ would have us do. I think that's what the biblical alternative is all about. And as you continuously come to my website day after day, because I see that the count's still going up, I have to document it. But as you continuously come to the website, you're going to hear me give you that admonition. That admonition is there. It's going to remain there. People need help in our society. They need moral help, and they also need physical help. And what I'm afraid of, I was talking with Mario last night, and I was saying that if we don't learn how to love each other, if we don't learn how to get along with each other and treat each other with respect, I said, I would pray that God would send a giant comet to just hit this ball, this planet, and blow it out of existence. I mean, we must love one another. It is the only way for us to practically survive. And I'm saying this under duress. I'm saying this while under pain, extreme pain. And I don't know whether this pain is ever going to end. It feels like it isn't. But we must learn how to love one another. And you know how it is when you have pain. I want to talk with some of you youngsters that's never had pain before. When you have pain, you don't want to eat. You don't want to have a conversation. It takes your focus off of everything but the pain. And what I'm asking you to do is to take your focus off of the pain that doing the right thing may cause you. And do it. And do it in the name of God, in the name of everything that is decent. And one of the young men told me that he has an EBT card. And I really don't know what that is. I guess it's a card where you can go and get food off of it. and the county gives it to these people, I recently found out that they have to pay that money back. Well, they'll never pay it back. And I mean, they have some of these people on these cards, I think, what is it, $200 a month that the government gives just to feed people. It's no wonder the people want desires to come to this country. I mean, my goodness, no other government, I think, is going to give its citizen freely $200 a month for nothing. So, my goodness. All right, I'm going to have to hold on. Oh, I'm sorry, I was out of commission about 10 minutes, and I have to get back in that position that I'm in now in order to finish the webcast. That's what I was telling you. The pain becomes so severe that it incapacitates you, and I am refusing to take medicine, meaning inorganic medicine, this stuff that the doctors prescribe, because that stuff is not, number one, it's not good for me, not good for my mind, and number two, it wreaks havoc on the healthy parts of what's left of your body. It's a terrible thing to become a senior citizen and having to grow old and to experience this for the first time in my life, and pray for me. I haven't enlisted at your prayers in a long time. Pray for me. I was praying because I was telling the Lord I want to finish the cast. It's important for you to understand. Let me talk to some of your parents. I know a young man, he's 21 years old and he has a baby. And he doesn't have a job and I can't comprehend it in my mind. You know, what do you do? How do you, how can I say this? And I want to say it right because I know this is going up on my website. And
Mario, I think your ride is here.
Yeah, that's a teacher that taught him English in high school. And Mario has a bachelor's degree and in English. And so he got in touch with the English teacher and they're going out to lunch and maybe she can give him some tips in getting a job and working. And I'm so thankful to God that she's going to get out of the car and embrace him. Oh, that's wonderful. The student meets the teacher. I wish I could meet her, but I'm not. I'm just going to stay here in the studio and look out the window. Mario has his guitar, and he's getting in the car, and they're going to have a wonderful afternoon. Thank God. Thank God the boy got somewhere to lay his head at night. That's wonderful. I feel good about the things that I've done. My daughter is getting in town tonight, and so I'll get a chance to see her. I know she's going to think that I'm down and out like this because of the work that I do in these young men's lives, but I hope she doesn't feel that way. And I'm not into a lot of parties and everything like that. I'm too busy not feeling well these days into take up my life doing that. But what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to have known Canto. Let me share with you some things that I've been thinking about, especially since I have the Word of God and I read it very fluently and openly and not close. You know, I'm reading from the 119th Psalm, and I want to start at verse 113. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love thy law. Look at what the psalmist is saying. A double-minded man, in the book of James, it says that he is unstable in all of his ways. I don't want to be double-minded. That's why I was praying when I had the system off for a while. Ow. Oh. I mean, you know, you can just, ooh. It's like somebody has a sharp pain, just, if you don't lay that arm in the right position. And if I can discover, yeah, just let me talk to you about it. And if it offends some of you, don't listen to it. You youngsters, listen to this. I think, you know, Pastor John is trying to help you. Look at verse 114. Then you know why I'm saying this. Thou art my hiding place and my shields. I wait for thy word. Then I say, depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. You know, and I like that. Sometimes I lock myself up here in the studio and I get away from everybody. I get away from the Morios, from my daughters, and from everyone. I just want to be alone with God, to talk with God about me, ask God about me, why am I the way I am? I try to tell the young men when they see me being frustrated, they're saying, oh, is this something that I'm doing, old man? And I tell them, no. I don't know why they call me an old man. I guess it's because I am. They're like sons to me. Wish I had $1 million. I really do. If I had money, I'd open up a foundation or something. Not for training them, but just loving them. You know, just let them attend a kind of a thing. You know, just, hey, you know, join the situation and you have a dad. Okay? Join this and you have a dad. That's what they need. I was talking to another friend of mine, an ex-student that took theology with me. I won't give you his name or anything like that. I won't go into details, but he is doing something in his life right now. He told me yesterday when he was here in the studio. He told me that what he is doing, he has taken my advice and doing hands-on kind of an evangelicism, but it's not really the kind of stuff that you would see taking place through the church. And that's what makes his endeavor one that is wonderful, because he's working straight up with wicked people. Straight up. I overheard a conversation with him, and I heard some of the people talking, and I said, you have far greater patience than I. And he saw me the way I was dealing with some of the young men that were looking at the computer when he was here. You know, they asked me a question and I said no. They asked me why. I said, because I said it. You know, John Coleman, I'm going to always be that way. It's no, because I said it. Don't question me. You know what the young man said? He said, okay. Because he wanted to invite a friend over. I said, I don't want your friends coming all over to my house. This is my private quarters, my place. I live here. I don't want to see all these people. He said, okay. See, that's why a parent is supposed to talk with a child. They're not your friends. Some of you parents, you're having problems because you think that your children are your friends. And you treat them like they're your friend. No. You have to be, come on. And I can say this under the duress of pain. I love you, but you ain't my friend. Get your ass up and get it stepping. If you get my drift. See, sometimes you try to talk decent with people and they don't understand it. You got to come to them right where they are. Right where they are. I should stop having these thoughts. Yeah, see, that's why I don't like taking that medicine. Because it puts thoughts in your head that shouldn't be in there. And I don't like that. Thank God that he's given me a strong mind, that I can cast aside certain things that come in my mind. For those of you that are seniors out there, and you're on that medicine, and that medicine got you thinking tweaky right now, you know what? Suffer the pain and drop the medicine. And I'm kind of glad I got this second medicine before I go back to work, because I got a couple of days to see whether I'm going to let all this stuff, because I only took one pill of it. Listen to me. One pill of it. I'm telling you, I took that pill at, what time I go to bed last night? Around 10:30? Well, I got in the bed around 10, yeah, about 10:30. Boy, that pill is still having an effect on me. And then it tells me to take one pill every night when I go to bed. I got to see how this pill is going to work out of me. So you senior citizens that's on this medicine like this, I got a hint for you. Endure the pain. See, sometimes the pain gets so intense. And please, don't feel sorry for me. Don't feel sorry for me. Oh, poor Pastor John, he's in pain. I hate it that he's in pain. No, no, no. Don't be hating God. Don't be hating God. Oh, who's this contacting me? I have to be very careful when I reach over here to pick up my phone. Very careful, brother. See, but no, don't be hating God. Don't be going through that. It's crazy. All right, I don't need that. So, you know, just sharing a little wisdom with you, because there's so little of that being shared today. Pastors don't talk to the people. Oh, pray that the Lord will take the pain from you. Let's deal with this. I asked the Lord to remove it from me. Guess what he said to me? The same thing he said to Paul. What did he say to Paul? You should be able to tell me that. You know your Bible. He told Paul that his grace was sufficient. Now, wait a minute, Pastor John. You're in the most excruciating pain that you've ever been in. Your doctors have given you legal medication prescribed to you to ease the pain. Why don't you take the legal medication to ease the pain? Because greater is he that is within me than the pills that are within the world. It's a state of mind that you come to as a Christian. My Christianity is just not a superficial barrage. There will be seasons, times of good feelings, and I hope that God gives me that when I have to get up in the classroom and teach these babies introduction to philosophy, world religions, and logic, because I'll just be preaching in that classroom. That's all I'll be doing. The church doesn't want to hear good, solid teaching, but these babies will. These babies will. Ah, my friends. Some people have a, what do you call it? It's called, not superficial, I'm looking for the right words. An idea of what Christianity is. From going to church, following tradition, and doing things like that. But to have an idea of what Christianity is without living it is a farce. I want to say to God right now, conscience, while I'm conscious and thinking about him and what he means to me. Because when he touches me with pain, it's him hugging me. It is just as much a part of this life as negative pain. And we must, as believers, govern ourselves in such a way as to accept that. Now, I know this is difficult for many of you Americans that don't like to experience pain because you have too much, what is it? Dean Goucher uses the term a lot. Good stuff that makes you feel good on it. Dopamine. You're full of the drug dopamine. You want to feel good about everything. Everything has to happy. God is not a dopamine God. He's also a God of affliction, pain, sorrow, discomfort, perplexity, depression. The same God. The very same God. And if you didn't know that, if you don't know that, then there's something wrong with you. So I don't want anything to be wrong with me. It's just that I find it more difficult when I'm in pain to do a webcast because I want to be very positive. Hold on 1 second. There we go. So let me continue with this thought. I think it's a good thought. In all of my life, the life that I've lived and the life that I have left, I want to live it to the fullest of my ability, to the absolute glory of God. And since my life is changing and being rearranged by God at His perfect timing, I ought to readily embrace whatever He brings my way. That's the Christian way, isn't it? I think it is. Whatever He readily not only presents attention to, but what He places on my plate. You know, whatever He puts on my plate, that is what I eat. That is what I eat. What I, as a Christian, what I, as a person that believes in a monotheistic God, in a God that creates the whole universe and creates all the people in the universe, all the things in the universe, I don't think that we're the only planet that has living species on it. I think that everything that God creates is living. Though it may be alien to our physical bodies and our minds, that God is God. So if God is a God of love, and it's And I believe He is. I believe that He is also a God of perfect timing in the lives of all of His creation. You know what I'm hoping, and I laugh about it at times. I say, it's because if this is a test to see if I'm going to curse God because the pain makes me curse God, that'll never happen. The devil needs to take a flying leap to whatever planet he needs to jump over. That will never happen. The God that gave me Lucy, the God that gave me my daughters, my grandchildren, the God that gave me those two young men in the hallway looking for jobs there, smiling, intent on doing something, the God that brought me in contact with everybody that I meet, the God that introduced me to you, the listener of this, though I've never seen many of you. That is a gracious God that I would never blaspheme. There's one unforgivable sin, and that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Don't play with me. I'm not going there with you. No. Well, that's about it. I'm going to read a little bit more of the scripture, and I'm gonna try to stay in this position as long as I can to alleviate the nerve. And I'm going to listen to this, check this out. I am going to do exactly what the doctor told me to do physically, is try not to put any tension on the nerve, try to use that side of your body as little as you can, but exercise. And so the best way to do that is to walk. I can't be afraid to walk in my own neighborhood because it's getting dangerous out here, man. It's just holding up people right and left, I hear. And so, but Roman and I have to walk. We have to walk. We're going to do that. Try to take care of as much business as I can before I go back to work, go back to school. And, and I am looking forward to that. looking forward to going back to work, getting in the classroom. Gonna ask Mario to iron a couple of shirts and some slacks for me, because doing any kind of a task like that, I mean, it's all I should be fit to do is to stand up and lecture and press a button for the PowerPoint to go to the next slide. Thank goodness I don't do a lot of chalkboard work now. But that's what I'm doing. That's how Pastor John is. I would greatly appreciate your prayers and your encouraging words and emails. I'm just bridging that gap. Bridging that gap, isn't it? You know what? What's that famous Old Testament scripture? It says that God needed to find a man to stand in the gap, and he looked to try to find a man to stand in the gap, and he couldn't find one. He couldn't find one. Couldn't find a man to bridge the gap. I want to be the man that bridges the gap in more ways than none. I want to be able to bridge the gap so the people can see the result of what God is doing. And I pray that I'll be able to do it in a decent frame of mind and a decent lifestyle for the rest of my life until I die. And death sounds wonderful to me. I have no idea why most people fear it. It is a wonderful adventure to think about. Oh well, that's another subject matter altogether, different at another time. Thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for listening to me. Hey, go through my daily, you know, there it is. That's Pastor John. I have not given up the faith. A lot of people think that I've, wait a minute, I can't stop now. A lot of people think that I have forsaken the faith. I haven't forsaken the faith because I don't attend a church service. If you don't think this is church, what do you think church is? This is real church, what I'm doing with you now. I'm inviting you into my sanctuary as I talk about my life and speak to God. You know, I was speaking with a dear friend of mine, and I was telling him about my, you know, about the private life that I have, the part of me that I never talk about, the part that everybody is arguing about on the news, you know. And I, you know, I said to him, I said, man, I got to tell you something, boom, boom, boom. And he said, you don't have to tell me that. He said, I knew that when I first met you. And then he said, all of us that allowed you to minister to us knew that. And I found that an amazing statement. And then he says, but we knew you to be honest to the word of God. He said, why do you think I still come by here, check up on you, and talk with you? And this guy is a hardcore guy. This guy was in the streets, man. This guy was no pushover like I am, physically. That's what I mean. And he told me that. He said, you keep on doing what you, he said, it don't make no difference, you know, who you are. That's who you are. So I haven't forsaken the faith. I haven't abandoned Jesus Christ and everything that I've learned in the Bible over years. I'm giving away my library and things like that because, it's, man, I have no need for it all. I'm coming to the end of it. This is the way a man should come to the end of it. Instead of writing a book, I have my website here. Thank God, my web server, man, I got it down to $79 a month. Glad about that. I really have to get busy and put some more. I just leaned over and tried to do the arrow button up, and oh my gosh. You see, automatically I just work to do that, and I inflame it all over again. Now I'm getting hungry, and I want something to eat, so I better make this short. Thank you for coming to my website. Hey, I love you people, and Lord willing, I'll do one tomorrow, bring you a little bit more Bible, I want to thank those of you, Richard, I want to thank you for trying to get me some ointment, some medicine or something like that. Thank you, Mark Ramsey. Pray for Mark Ramsey. Mark Ramsey's having a little, physical difficulty himself right now. Pray for him. I won't get into that. Wish he was in the studio. He'd probably share it with you. But he had a case of vertigo. That's what it was. And so he's working with that. You know, we're getting old. Mark is over 50. I'm going on 70. So we're up there in age. But we're hanging tight. I haven't spoken with Bob in a few days, but Bob knows what I do here. Bob knows I'm busy, and he's busy. We don't do the webcast like we used to do before because I think that we've said everything. We have enough of this stuff up on the archives. You can listen to that. Keep you stimulated. Well, listen, God bless you. Let me bridge this gap and keep on doing it. And you keep on doing it. Whatever you do, stay in the Word. Bye-bye. You shouldn't have heard that last sound.